I'm definitely in the mood to receive the blessings that God is offering. Amen. He is the cornerstone. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right, let's go on. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have called us on a journey of which we cannot see the end of. On paths that are yet untrodden and through perils unknown, grant us faith to go forward with good courage, not knowing where we go, but trusting that your hand will guide us and your love will sustain us. For, O Lord, into your hands we commend all that we are, our bodies, our souls, and all things. Amen. All right, well, in our Old Testament reading for today, the prophet Isaiah talks about a time when it's called the joy of the redeemed, when the Messiah comes back. And he says some things that Jesus makes true in our gospel reading. There's definitely a connection there. The lame will leap like a deer. Can you believe that? A wheelchair-ridden person will now be able to do handstands. And I think in such a day that I can sing on key, even. I don't think anything's impossible. The mute tongue will speak. The deaf ear will be unstopped. And this is exactly what Jesus is doing in our gospel reading for today. As he's come to fulfill the prophecy of the coming Messiah. Because he is, in fact, the Messiah who has came, who suffered, who died and was raised again and ascended into heaven. He is our cornerstone of all of our faith. Nothing else works without him in place first. So let's talk a little bit about where Jesus had been coming from and what all of this was going on. In Mark chapter 7, it begins with Jesus talking to the Jewish people. And the Pharisees had come from Jerusalem and they're criticizing Jesus. They're nagging him about, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat in accordance to the rules of Moses? Therefore, they're unclean. So Jesus seizes this as a teaching opportunity. He tells them it's not what goes into the mouth that makes you unclean, but what comes out of the mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth, and that's where evil intentions lie. It's not what goes into your mouth, it goes into your stomach and then out of your system. It's what is inside of us that needs to be changed by a close encounter of the Jesus kind. We've got to have that connection with Christ. I heard a person once say that unless there is within us that which is above us, then very soon we will yield to that which is around us. You get all that us stuff in there? Unless there is within me that which is above me, God, then I will soon be influenced by all the things that are around me. It makes sense, right? We need to have Christ in us because alone I don't stand a chance, amen? Alone I will always go to default mode. It's all about Dave. It's all about, and after I get done telling you, Dave, I'll ask my favorite question. Now that I've told you about me, what do you think about me? God takes us off of that self-centeredness and puts us onto a part of service, a part of love. James talked about it. Now, James is not telling us that we should be, we need to do good works to be saved. No, that's not what he's saying. We are not saved. It is by grace we are saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. But now here's verse 10. For we are Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. So a sign of real faith will be that we will take upon ourselves the mission that Jesus Christ came into this earth. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He preached good news to the poor. We're not to be judgmental. In fact, let me just tell you one little story I heard about this guy that went into this. Let's say he's Baptist. Feel like picking on Baptist today? Or let's just say he was another faith. And he went into this big, huge, mega church in, let's pick on Dallas, Texas. And he walks in, and everybody's dressed up in their finest clothes. And he's just a working man. So he's got clean jeans, but they're worn. He's got a clean shirt, but it's worn, wearing shoes that are ragged, but clean. And after the service is over, the pastor singles him out and says to him, "Hey, why don't you look around here and see what kind of clothes that people wear here? And then I want you to ask God, what does God want you to wear when you come to church here?" So the man went home and he prayed about it. The next week he showed up in the same clothes. And the pastor called him out and goes, "So what's the deal here? Did you talk to God?" And he goes, "Yeah, I talked to God." He says, "Well, what did God say that you should wear when you're here?" He said, "God says he's never been in your church." That can happen, right? We can get together and just think, okay, now let me get to my message. I've covered them all, right? I've covered the epistle. I've covered the Old Testament. Now on to the gospel. The title of my sermon is Ephatha. Ephatha. It's an Aramaic word. And anytime the writers, you know, the New Testament was written in Greek. And so they put this Aramaic word in it to emphasize it. So it's like a word that is boldened, capitalized, italicized, and underlined, and in a bright color. It says, pay attention to this word. And in fact, if you think for a moment, what phrase or what commandment in your mind is the center of the gospel? Could it be like, love your neighbor as yourself? God is love. You're forgiven. That's a pretty good one. Well, I think that Ephatha, be opened, is right up there too. Because unless we're opened, we're not able to receive. When my fist is clenched, you can't give me much, can you? It's got to be opened. And that's what Christ does to us in the waters of our baptism. When we come to be baptized, he opens our hearts to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that brings us into a saving faith relationship with him. It's what happens when we hear the word of God and our hearts are opened. It's not something that we do. It's something that God does to us and in us. We've got to make that connection. There's a story about a African tribe, and they're walking down this trail in the jungle, and they come across a dead man and some pieces of mushrooms. And the chief says to the people, "What do you see here?" And they say, "Well, I see a man that's dead." And he goes, "Well, what else do you see? What do you see here?" And he goes, I see mushrooms. And he goes, "What do you see here?" "Oh, I see a dead man and bits of mushrooms." And he goes, "What do you see here?" He goes, "Oh, the light came on. The man must have ate the mushrooms and the mushrooms killed him." You see, the light came on. They made that connection. And that's what the Holy Spirit does us in our faith walk. But we need to be open. Now, I wish I could tell you, for $89.95, three easy lessons, how do you open yourself to receive the Holy Spirit? I can tell you where to put yourself, where it can happen. You're right in the right place. Come to church, hear the word of God, receive the sacraments, be baptized. These are some things that can help you to be opened. But yet people come and they still aren't able. They just aren't. Scripture sees seeing and hearing with some precise technical assignments to it. Jesus often said that people will be listening but not hearing. They'll not be perceiving. They'll be seeing but not really seeing things. The great theologian Yogi Berra once said, "You can observe a lot just by looking." Well, you might be able to observe a lot, but you might not be able to understand everything. That's why the Holy Spirit needs to come into us. That's why hearing the word of God is so important. That Jesus came to this man, and if I had to approve of his techniques, I don't think I'd approve of spitting on his finger and putting it in the guy's mouth. That's kind of gross, but that's what he did. He put his fingers in the ear, he unstopped them, spit, put it on his tongue, and the man was healed. Now, there's two parts to that. There's the hearing. We need to hear. But we also need to be able to speak, because it's through our sharing the gospel that others have an opportunity to hear the gospel. That's pretty simple, right? If we don't share it, who will? The Bible goes on to tell us then that that when Jesus got the man, he brought him aside away from the crowd, and he looked up to heaven. He looked at heaven because that's where our power comes from. That's where our strength comes from. That's giving God the glory, giving God the recognition. And then he groaned. It's a very human thing, right? You know, John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that nothing was created that was created except apart from him. So here's the Word of God that created everything visible and invisible, and now here he is kneeling alongside of a person that can't hear and is having trouble speaking, and he groans. I think it's important for us to remember that Jesus experiences our pain. You know, Jesus is God, but he's also human. He experienced rejection. He experienced pain. He experienced everything that we experience. He experienced disappointment. One of his inner 12 betrayed him. On the cross, his father had to turn away from the sin, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's also in Aramaic. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. It's an important thing to notice that Jesus experiences our human feelings. So when we are experiencing those too, we can turn to God who understands. For the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, we do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, but we have one who was tempted every way that we were, yet was without sin. Let us therefore approach his throne of grace with confidence, that we might find help and mercy in our time of need. Ephatha, be opened. One of the things that Jesus did too is he went up into Gentile territory. Jews weren't supposed to do that. He broke that other social boundary. Right before this reading, there's a story about a Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus. Women weren't supposed to approach Jewish men, but Jesus healed her daughter. And then we have this. It's still in Gentile territory. See, Jesus is knocking down all of these barriers that man has put up. How many of you know that the gospel is for everyone? It's for men, it's for women, it's for slaves, it's for free, it's for everyone. And Jesus is trying to reestablish the proper order of God in this world. Be open. Ephatha, be opened. Let your ears be open to God's forgiveness of your sin. Ephatha, be open. Let your eyes be open to see the opportunities God is making available in your world. Ephatha, be open. Let your minds be open to ways of thinking that will expand your understanding of what God's will for your life is and what his will is for others. Ephatha, be open. Let your mouth be open to share the good news of Jesus Christ with your friends. Ephatha, be opened. Let your life be open to the movement of the Spirit, open to release from whatever is scaring you or stopping you or holding you back from becoming the person that you want to be, from becoming the person that God created you to be. Ephatha, be opened. It's a word we need to hear over and over and over again. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.